I'm going to continue unpacking this word that Apostle laid the foundation for us that he laid the foundation for this word for our house. And is 2025 a year of extraordinary grace release? Say extraordinary grace. Now, I would encourage you to let this be a word for you, not just thinking about, oh, at Ayers, that's our word. Let it be a personal word for you. Because one of the things that we are intentional about, and I really sense the Lord urging us about, is to not allow these words to be, even though we call them themes, don't let them just be a theme, something we get excited about. And it's like, yeah, 2025, you know, extraordinary grace, but never see the fulfillment of it. And so every time God speaks, it is his intention, his desire, and purpose for the word to be fulfilled. God said he would not allow his word to come back to him void, but it prospers in the thing for which he sent it. So real quick, I'm going to read our two foundation scriptures, and I'm going to get into what we need to get into today. But we're going to be unpacking this word systematically so that you can apply the revelation that you are hearing. In fact, repeat after me. Say, Father, thank you for the spirit of revelation and insight in the knowledge of you. Say it a little louder so the people on the live stream know this isn't just a studio that people are in here. Say, Father, I thank you for the spirit of revelation and insight in the knowledge of you. Hallelujah. Because remember, revelation extends an invitation to think, live, and operate in a higher dimension. So when God speaks something and reveals something to you, it's an invitation to come up higher and to live in this higher place with God. And then as we apply it, we will see it as a reality in our lives, because we cannot allow there to be a gap between what we hear and what we see. The gap between hearing and seeing only occurs the first time you hear. After you hear it, we have to receive it by faith and allow Holy Spirit to help us apply it so that that gap no longer exists. And so in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, I'm going to read this from the message. It says, all that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers. But sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. Say, grace wins. Say, grace wins. Grace always wins, so that means you always win because you operate in grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. I could stop right there and preach all day. There are multiple dimensions of heaven that Jesus has already passed through for you. And it says, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. You should hold fast to your faith-filled words that you are saying because Jesus has passed through the heavens for you. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Meaning Jesus didn't give in to the sin. He was spotless. And because of that, he can help us not to give in. We don't have to surrender to something that should be surrendering to us. Because of the grace, say the grace. Verse 16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, there are different dimensions of grace or levels of grace. Too often we stay in the place of the grace that's accompanied by mercy. God, forgive me for I have sinned. God, forgive me because I missed it. That's one level of grace that's given to everybody because everybody has opportunity for repentance. But the next level of grace is what we call favor. That word grace comes from the Greek word charis, which means favor. It's the unearned, unmerited favor. It is the favor of God that's given to you because he loves you and you are you. You can't do anything to get the favor. You can't do anything to increase the favor. You cannot fast and pray and think, I'm gonna get more favor. That's works. That's not grace. Fasting and prayer makes you more sensitive to the favor that's already been given. Are you following me? And so we a lot of times we think we have to work for something or apply a formula to get something when we just need to simply posture ourselves to receive it. So then it's that word grace talks about favor. Now, I love this from that Karis definition. It says divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So the favor of God, the grace of God, should be influencing your heart, meaning how you think, how your emotional state, and how you behave. So our thoughts, every time we think about something, we should be in cognizant or in recognition of the fact that the favor of God is on my life. The grace of God is on my life. That should be our first thought. Whenever something comes up, the grace of God is on my life. The favor of God is on my life. And then as that impacts our thoughts, it impacts our behavior, and we will walk out this reality. Remember, your thoughts drive your behavior. The scripture says, as a man thinketh. So there are other two definitions of grace that we're working with. One is an instantaneous enablement by God in the power of Holy Spirit to do or say something beyond your natural ability to fulfill a specific purpose of God in the time frame. That means it's a supernatural ability. We say all the time, the power of Jesus is normal. Because the grace is upon you, so you should be operating in the supernatural as a normal part of life. This is why the next one, special grace, talks about an enablement. And we defined it as an extraordinary grace bestowed by God for particular purposes in the life of a believer or the church associated with divine intervention. See, it's the grace of God that brings divine intervention. This is why you don't have to pray for miracles. I know we do it, and I know I say it all the time, don't do it. And people are saying, well, Jamal, you just saying don't do it, but you shouldn't. Miracle, by definition, means a sign that's supernatural that points people to Jesus. If you're walking with Jesus, why do you need something to point you to him? Your covenant gives you the benefit of grace, which gives you the benefit of divine intervention and divine assistance. So all you have to do is thank God for the grace, and the supernatural things you need to happen for you will happen. When you believe for miracles, it is for them to be worked through you. It's like now the grace is on me to work the miracle, and because that I accept and receive it, signs, wonders, and miracles follow me because I believe. So Noah, the first time we see the word grace was in the Old Testament with Noah, where it says Noah found favor with God. So we're going to look at what was happening and draw from the life of Noah to realize, wait a minute, how did he find this favor? And how do we make sure we're operating in this favor? Y'all ready to go there? So let's look at Genesis 6. Now, I want you to remember this. When we're talking about favor and the grace of God, it's not always a yes. See, sometimes in church, we've heard about favor always being a yes, and we've gotten spoiled like toddlers who don't know how to handle the word no. Favor does open doors. Favor causes yeses when there would have been a no, or somebody wanted to give you a no. Favor will do that. Favor will bring opportunities to you. Favor will cause things to happen for you. But favor will also be a no to the things that's not supposed to be a part of your life. Favor will close doors that you're not supposed to go in. You can apply for a job and they can say, no, thank you. And you could be thinking, well, God, I was believing. You wasn't supposed to be there. You could be on a job and there could be confusion and it's like they push you out and you was like, well, Lord, it looked like they won. I was believing you to stay, but they still cut me. You wasn't supposed to be there because God allowed that to be your exit plan before something else happened. That has happened to me twice in my life. So I can tell you that one for sure. I remember the first time that happened to me, I was believing and confessing, declaring, decreeing, doing all the things, binding the devil, forbidding demonic attack, doing all the things. Didn't realize I was resisting God. Please, that place that pushed me out, that I was trying to stay, it wasn't even a year later. See, this is the thing about grace. It wasn't even a year later. It wasn't 2 years later, 3 years later. About 7 or 8 years later, that whole place shut down. Everybody got let go then. Sometimes we think we want to see it immediately. And we could be working under grace and not even know it. Noah was building the ark. I know some people. Years, but when you do the math, it's not really 120. Because he was 500 years old when he had his first son. And then the scripture says he was 600 when he entered into the ark. So a little less than 100 years. And his son was old enough to have a wife because it said, take your sons and their wives. So a little less than 100 years, he was building something that had never been seen before. Because God said he was going to do something that had never been done before. And he was working under favor, but didn't really see the fruit of the favor. So let's go there. So Genesis, let me tell you this. And Noah's name even implies favor and grace. In Genesis 5 and 29... when they talk about Noah, it says his father called his name Noah, saying, this one will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands, arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed. So his name by itself implied grace. See, grace will cause you to be at rest from toil. It will cause you to cease from the work of your hands. And it'll move you out of, it'll take you out of the place of trying to do things in your own strength to operating in the strength of God. See, grace connects you to the blessing. That's why in Matthew 11, 28, it says, walk with me and learn the unforced rhythms of grace and you'll live freely and lightly. See, grace removes the curse. You cannot be cursed when you're operating in grace. I don't care what witch said what, who has their picture on your picture on their altar, what incantations they do, what oils they do, or what seance they've done. It has no power because of the grace. So a lot of time believers are too worried about witches instead of worrying about the grace. Who's a witch? Who's a wizard? Who's a warlock? I don't care. I'm accessing the grace. I'm looking at Jesus. And let me make this a closer reality. When people are speaking ill of you, that's actually what the Bible calls a word curse. And what they say about you to try to damage your reputation cannot impact you because of grace. And you don't have to worry about chasing people down because they said something about you or they're trying to spread lies about you or rumors about you because your grace will speak for itself. They can say what they want to about you at work, but grace will speak for you. Now it says this in Genesis 6, verse 5. It says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So mankind as a whole throughout the entire earth was wicked. They didn't just have the sin nature because of the fall of Adam. There was wickedness so much in them that their hearts thought about it continually. Now, we could give you the backstory as to why that is, but that would take a whole nother Sunday. So you want to read those first four verses that tell you why. So in this space where evil is continuously happening, and it was in their hearts, it says God was sorry that he had made man, and he was grieved. So God looked at creation and was grieved. He looked at man and was grieved. And then he says in verse 7, I'm going to blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, from man to animals. Now, it's like, wait a minute, what the animals do? He was like, I'm going to destroy man. I'm going to do the animals. I'm going to do the creepy things, the birds of the sky, for I'm sorry I made them. The wickedness of mankind was so bad, God was like, I'm killing every tiger, every spider, every bird, every pigeon. They gonna get it. And so it says, but Noah found favor. The King James says, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So as God looked out, he saw wickedness everywhere. But when he saw Noah, he saw favor. He saw grace. When God looks at you, he looks at you through the eyes of Jesus, and he sees favor on you. He looks at you through the eyes of grace. He doesn't look at you like everybody else does. He looks at you better than you even look at yourself. He sees you through the eyes of Jesus. And the thing about that verse when it says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, it goes two ways. God looked at Noah with favor. Noah looked at God and found favor. One of the ways we access grace and favor is to be focused on Jesus. And then look at this. It says, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. So that's the first key. We must walk with God. To walk in this grace, we have to walk with God. And I don't mean, because we know God is with us. But the question is, are we with him? Because God can be with you, but you might not be walking with him in a close and intimate relationship. So the key to accessing this grace is to walk with God, to have a close and intimate relationship with him. Now, it says he was righteous and blameless. Think about that. In everybody in the world, not just his community, not just his city, not just his state or country, in the world, there was no escaping the wickedness. He was righteous and blameless. Wait a minute. How was he blameless? We know if we look at that, and I like to read a verse backwards. So we know because he walked with God, that produced him being blameless. That produced the righteousness. Because he couldn't do it in his own strength. But he tapped into righteousness and blamelessness even before Jesus entered the earth. Because that word blameless actually means perfect. The King James translated that as perfect. It's the Hebrew word tamim, which means integrity, truth. So he walked in integrity and truth as he walked with God, which kept the favor flowing in his life. But it also says without blemish and without spot. Wait a minute. Jesus is coming back for a church that's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Noah was walking this out before the blood had been shed in the earth. By faith, Noah was able to access the grace that Jesus released before he even came to the earth, before Jesus came to the earth. Y'all seeing that? He was without spot. He was blameless. He was undefiled in a world where everybody and everything else was defiled. So it is possible to be in an environment where defilement is happening and be untainted. Now, I'm not saying go tempt yourself and go to the club and be like on that Instagram video, you know, we in the club, we are fam, and don't do that. But I'm saying that God can send you into a space and place where defilement is happening, where it's wicked all around, and it cannot taint you because of grace. And sometimes God will send you to those places intentionally for his grace to be released in that space so somebody could see it. Because it's the goodness of the Lord that brings people to repentance. And God's goodness on your life will provoke somebody to jealousy. And then after they deal with the emotion of jealousy, then they start asking you, wait a minute, why is this always working for you? Now, because of that grace and he was blameless, God tells him, verse 14, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top and set the door on the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. What is God doing? He's revealing. He's giving instructions. And look how specific they are. See, a lot of people think God talks in generalities. God is very specific. I call it a blueprint because he gave Noah exactly what to do, exactly what type of wood to get, how long to make the stuff, how many levels needed to be in this thing. He told him exactly, detail by detail, what he should do. See, when we receive the grace of God and walk in the favor of God, he can tell us exactly what needs to happen, what we need to do. Our responsibility is to do those instructions. As we extend our faith and receive the instructions, we have to follow them clearly, exactly the way he gives them to us. Because when we follow them, when we do what he says, but not like he says, then we take ourselves outside of the grace. We can't fulfill the plan of God the way we desire to fulfill the plan of God. We have to do what he says, like he says, to see the results that he says because of the favor. What if Noah would have said, I want to get a different piece of wood? What if I do two levels instead of three? It's still the same thing. It don't take all that. Well, maybe it does. Exactly what he commanded is exactly what we do. Y'all following me? So then he tells him, I'm going to bring a flood. And then, but in verse 18, he says, I'm establishing my covenant. Know that you're in covenant with God. So regardless of the things that people are saying is going to happen upon the earth, you're in covenant, so you don't have to be fearful. You know, people were talking about this virus outbreak in China and all of that, talking about pray so it's not another pandemic, and I get that, and I pray. Also declare this, I have supernatural immunity. I'm in the grace of God. I'm going to be smart, but I have to recognize I have supernatural immunity. I'm not going to let the news scare me. So then, look at verse 20 of Genesis 6. No, verse 19. It says, "And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds of their kind, of the animals of their kind, of the creepy thing of their ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive." Look at this. They will come to him. He didn't have to go get them. They came to him. Favor will cause resources to come to you when you extend your faith. When you follow what God has told you to do, exactly the way he's told you to do it, and as you are building under this favor, they will come to you. Now, I believe, using my imagination, that they didn't come while he was still building it at first, because there wasn't space for them. But once it was erected and there was space, they came. See, sometimes you're building under favor and you're believing for people to come, but you have to keep building so that the space can be created for them to come. And you can't give up at the beginning of the thing because you didn't see the people come. Because we want instant success. I heard one person say it took him 10 years to become an overnight success. Because we see people pop out of nowhere and be like, oh. But we don't know the process that God took them through. What was happening in the background when they were shaped and molded while they were walking with God. See, a lot of times when we access favor, it puts us in this spot of being made new again, where God is working some things out of us and putting some things in us. And sometimes we don't equate that with favor. It's like, wait a minute. Be like, God, you said you're going to favor me. I'm supposed to be doing this. And God's like, yep, I'm getting you ready. Because there's something in your past we need to deliver you from. There's something in your heart we need to pull out. We need to put more word in you so it'll be fortified. It can't just be head knowledge. We got to make this thing really be a reality in your life. Because God is not setting us up to fail. He's not elevating us to fall. He's not going to promote you to being an embarrassment. But sometimes we get impatient and want to abort the process. Favor keeps you in the process and don't let you come out till the time is right, till the set time, the due time. The favor of God will keep you incubating when you're supposed to be incubated. Because if you come out prematurely, it's going to hurt you. Say favor. That same favor was expressed when Adam and his wife Eve now got kicked out of the garden. That was the grace and favor of God. Because they said, look, he's become like one of us. He's going to eat of the tree of life and be in this state forever. So they came to him. Resources will come to you. Let me show you something real quick. And only got like 2 minutes, if that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And I'm going to read this from the Classic Amplified. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Somebody say favor. The same favor that God demonstrated towards Noah, God demonstrates towards you. So we're not just learning a history lesson. We're looking at, wait, so if I walk with God, God is going to give me specific instruction, and the resources I need to accomplish what he said to me will come to me. And when I'm around wicked people, I can be undefiled because I'm walking with God. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace every type of grace there is, every dimension of grace, every level of grace. God makes it, and then he says, every favor and earthly blessing. Now, we know that there are spiritual blessings. Man, we talk about the spiritual blessings and spiritual gifts, but there are earthly blessings you're supposed to receive. There are people with a poverty mindset preaching the gospel, thinking that you are not supposed to be blessed physically. You live in a physical world, so you should be blessed in the physical world while also walking in the spiritual blessing as well. So it says, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always, say always, and under all circumstances, and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. This grace will bring the resource to you. This favor will cause you to be in abundance, and you have more than enough to fulfill the assignment. Say favor. So when you get the assignment, the thing is to thank God for the grace, because that grace is bringing the resources to do it. God doesn't expect you to finance his vision. Even though we sow into it ourselves, but God expects you to live in abundance, and out of that abundance, fulfill the vision. Say favor. Now, let me show you this. I'm looking at the clock. Back in Genesis 6, Genesis 7, God tells him, okay, in 7 days, it's going to rain. He was like, look, I gave you all this time to do what you need to do. Now, 7 days is go time. It's about to happen. So he tells him to go into the ark, take his wife, take his son's wife. The animals come. And then I thought it was interesting, because when we read in verse 6, we said, take them 2 by 2. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, only 2 monkeys, 1 male, 1 female. But this said in verse 2 of chapter 7, it says, of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female. That's why he had something to offer up later. Because remember, once the flood resided, he built an altar, and made an offering to the Lord. I'm going to let that say lie, because we got to keep it moving. And so here's the thing. In verse 16, I really want you to see this. It said, those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded them, and the Lord closed it behind him. The favor of God closed the door of the ark himself. It wasn't like Noah was inside pulling the door closed with a string or a rope, like they show in the cartoon. God himself closed the door and kept him in the place of safety while everything else was being destroyed. God is your protection. Because of the favor of God, he is your protection and will protect you from all destruction. So let me give you these 3 points. Number one, to access this grace and favor that we see lived out with Noah, we have to walk with God. Remember, it takes faith to walk with God. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to use our faith to walk with God. Number two, we cannot allow the majority in this culture, the behavior of other people, to impact our walk with God. We can't shift to try to fit in. Because if we do, we shift out of the grace. Their hearts, just like we saw the people's heart was continually wicked, But Noah walked with God and he stayed righteous. Number three, we must follow the blueprint. We must follow the instructions that God gives us without deviating. Because all we saw throughout that is Noah did as he was commanded. Noah did as he was commanded. When we follow the instructions without deviating, we will continuously see the favor that's already been released. See, you don't, come and join me, Eric and Eddie. You don't have to pray for God to bless your path. You have to allow the Lord to lead you on your path that's already blessed. You don't have to ask God to bless the work of your hands, because he's already blessed and said everything you put your hands to will prosper. But you got to let him tell you what to put your hands to. Now, there is some default that sometimes just because the favor of God is on you, you can be in the wrong space and still see the favor of God. You could do the wrong thing and it still be blessed and you see some fruit. There is that dynamic. But you want to be in the place where he's already laid out for you. Say, I'm going to be in the right place. That's where the favor is. The favor is in being in the right place. Hallelujah.